The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went out. Going out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." Recalling again the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 20, I want to ask you a question. How mad would you be if it were you in the story? How mad would you be if you were one of the first ones hired? Not just one of the first ones hired. You were the first person there. You went out from the beginning of the day in the scorching heat, worked the whole day, and other people kept joining, and they came in later. And they came in after you did this hard portion and that hard portion. Well, they came in after midday. It was downhill from here. And then gathered all together, the master comes and one by one doles out the payment, and everybody gets the same as you, who were there the entire time. My question to you is, how mad would you be? How upset, how frustrated, how slighted, how absolutely insulted would you be if this happened to you? The absolute nerve of this guy, the master in the parable, and I would even say, it probably has happened to you to some degree or another in a job you work. Maybe it's not that someone comes in later and gets the same pay, but somebody who's there is kind of lazy and good at dodging work, and maybe does a good job of making it look like they're working while you're getting stuff done, being productive, doing your best, and someone else, well, they're just phoning it in, and they get the same paycheck as you. Anybody with a sense of fairness, though, regardless of the circumstances as we can apply them in our life, if you just hear this parable, anybody with a sense of fairness would be frustrated. Anybody would see simply, it's just not fair what the master does when he gives out people their wages. And moreover, it's not that it's just not fair, that's terrible business. That's a really bad way to run your farm, your vineyard, whatever. Word gets around. People know how other bosses treat their workers, fairly or unfairly. You're going to have a hard time making it in the long run if this is what you do. There's a story I'm reminded of. I can't remember the name of the business, but it was from about 10 years back. And there was this business. I think it was a tech business somewhere out in California, probably. And the owner was really big on what he called fair pay, and he had made a good deal of money in his business. He had millions of dollars himself, and so he did this thing with his business, with its dozens of employees, where he said, starting on January 1st, everybody at this business, myself included, will be making the same pay. That's from the engineers that went to college and grad school, and some of them got, I think, even PhDs to do what they did, all the way to the janitor. Same pay across the board. And there were glowing articles written about this guy, of course, just how wonderful he understands fairness and it's the wave of the future. Not many people held up and shared the articles, which do exist, They did the follow-up on this a few years later. You know what had happened? The hardest working people, the people that had spent much more of their young years getting those degrees, working to get the special skills that were required for the core of that company, they moved on to other companies that actually valued what they had done, and the business had, I think, kind of fallen apart, or maybe they went back to paying people on a scale or whatever, I don't know. But word got around, it's not fair. The world doesn't work that way. Let's be honest. If our Lord's parable from Matthew 20 tonight is teaching us how to run a business, is teaching us how to be good bosses, to use the language of the Catechism's table of duties, then I would say this parable gets an F, an absolute failure. But that's not what the parable's doing. We can't give it an F because the parable is not telling us how we should pay workers or be paid. It's easy to have the wrong takeaway from a parable, to read or hear a parable from the Gospels, one that Jesus uses to teach people, and to get the wrong idea from it, to go away having the wrong notion of what's being said. If we're not careful, we can miss the point about what's going on. For instance, the parable about the Good Samaritan is not something that we should be basing immigration policy on in this country. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about Christian love to the closest neighbor right in front of us. Or, if you take the parable about the rich man and Lazarus, that parable isn't teaching us that after people die, you can have a conversation, someone in heaven and someone in hell, across this big gap. That little detail of the parable is not what the parable is about. Or, in a few years, when he can express it, Nathan is not allowed to come to me and say, "Father, give me my inheritance." Because the guy in the prodigal son parable did that, and the father gave it to him, so that must be okay then. He's not allowed to do that. I'm going to say no when that happens, if that happens. You see, these details and so many other ones, they are details, they're important, and they're part of the story, but these aren't the essence of what Jesus is driving at when he tells us the story. You see, Jesus' parables have this theme. They are always about him and his kingdom. Jesus' parables are about him and the reign of God in and through him. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it look like in our lives to belong to Christ, to bear his name? What happens to us when we die? These are the sorts of things the parables are seeking to teach us in things like these. And when we understand that, we can see the Lord's intent with parables in a broad sense, whatever they are, generally speaking, and we can see his intent here. Not to teach us that it is okay and even encouraged to have unfair, unjust business practices in our life, but this parable teaches us that God's grace is his to give as he pleases. God's mercy is his to dole out when and where and to whom he wants to. It might seem unfair on its face, this parable and Jesus' teaching in it. By the world's standards, I'd say by reasonable standards, if you are just going to look at it from a business perspective, it is unfair. It absolutely is. But you need to remember this. In the end, it's the master's vineyard. It's the master with the money. It's the master that called the workers. It's the master who owns the vineyard. It is his, not the people that work there, however short or long during the day. And when you understand that, and you understand how it applies to the broader context of our lives in this world, when you understand that this is God's world, not our world, God's church, not our church, you should begin to lose your frustration and a little bit of the head-scratching at this parable as it stands. But more than lose frustration, I'd hope, you can begin to appreciate the sharp fact. In the end, it's a blessing that anybody got to go work in that vineyard at all. Not just the last people, but the first people as well. You see, since it's the master's vineyard, we don't deserve to dictate the wages. We don't deserve to tell him how much each person, ourselves included, should get for being a part of it. But moreover, we don't even have a claim to be in the vineyard to begin it with. We don't have a claim to be a part of his operation. My great uncle, David, my grandpa's brother, had a saying a few years ago, and it's one of those ones that stuck. The debate was going on back then about the question, as it always does, about minimum wage. And his little line stuck in my ear: the real minimum wage is zero. It's nothing. It's having nothing. Not a job at all, no compensation. I think when we remember that, it helps to put this parable into perspective for us. If the real minimum wage for people in this workforce and our economy is zero, how much more so is it with God? And what is owed to us from God? When you understand that, it kind of puts things into perspective, doesn't it? Not that someone received this blessing over me or me over them, but that someone has received any blessing at all. How magnificent, how gracious, and how wonderful is that fact? And so with that said, I opened with the question, how angry would you be if this happened to you? With all that I've said in mind, I now ask you the question, how happy are you that this has happened to you? That you got called into the master's vineyard at various times in your life. Some of us from the moment we were baptized, some of us a little later, but we are all here. We don't deserve the full wage. We don't deserve to be here. But here we are, called and blessed by the master, blessed by our God. Different times and circumstances, here we are though, reaping all of the benefits of his gracious call. So in your life, when you see other people, Christians that have come into the church a little later in life, Christians perhaps with a little bit more of a soiled past than we might have ourselves, Christians who give more, Christians who give less, Christians who do more, Christians who give less or do less, don't think about it. Think about the fact that you're here and God has brought you here to be with you, and be thankful and give thanks to him always and tell other people how wonderful it is that there is a master and there is a vineyard. And long or short, being in that vineyard, one will be blessed by him from his ever-loving, gracious hand. To the same master and his son, Jesus Christ, be all glory forever and ever. Amen.